Right back in. Okay, Yoshua Divir MS Oz Yud Zayin. Uklal Ze Yiyeh Biyadcha. Take this rule to heart. Now it's amazing actually. What we learned this morning is gonna connect to this very, very precisely. Af Shabavadai Atta Ba'atzmacha Mevin Ze. I want you to learn this very well, even though you somewhat know it on your own. Bak Machmas Shinizgalu Ksavim Elu Shah Kadosh Morenu Harav Dov Ber. So he says, even though I know you kind of know about this, but the writings of Dov Ber, of the Maggid of Mezrich, are getting out there, and I want to just make sure that everything's clear. You read these ideas sometimes from Tzaddikim, and immediately you start to think, okay, I'm going to do that. Like, whoa, just because the Maggid of Mezrich said it, doesn't mean that, A, you should do it, and even if you think you're doing it, you have to really know what it means to actually do it. Afilu lingoa bekatzeyu, because even to touch the edge of it is not so pashur. But what are people seeing in the writings of the Maggid? And he's going to try to clarify it for us. It's a very, very important idea. Again, practically how we apply it has to be done carefully, but the idea of it is extremely important. People see that in the writings of the Maggid, they find signon zeh, the following idea. Dahainu. Here's the idea. Shame ahava ra'a shabala adam yachol le'echoz ba'ava sabore. That a person can use an ahava ra', a negative, unholy type of love, and can use that as a springboard, I guess you could say, to grab onto the love of Hashem. How does it connect to what we learned this morning? That was Michal's whole question, right? Is the goal to kill your tzahara or to redirect it? So that's exactly what he's saying here. Right? But it has to be understood properly. So people are reading in the writings of the Maggid of Mezrich that you could take a falsification of true love, meaning love for Hashem, and you could use that as a means of falling in love with Hashem. Now, is that idea appropriate for us? Not appropriate for us? And what does it even mean? So let's think for a second. What does it mean? I mean, when the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva talks about falling in love with Hashem, how does the Rambam describe it?
The woman.
Yeah. The obsession that a chassan has for his kala.
It's not avara.
No, it's not avara. Says the chassan. Okay? But if you've ever been in that place, so, right? So you know that, you know what that feels like, and you ask yourself, did I ever feel... was I ever so crazy about Hashem the way I'm crazy about my kala or my wife? And it's not so easy. It's not so easy to say that I felt that depth of, again, feeling for Hashem. Have I ever been as obsessed with Hashem as I was with the girl I was dating at the height of our, you know, courtship? So you're right. It's not an ahavara. It's not an ahavara. Right? But that's why I'm asking. Like, is there something that we need to be cautious about here? It's not an avara. Not a bad. It's not an evil, forbidden love. Let's assume it's a kosher feeling that you have towards your wife, right? So that's not a bad thing. So what are the dangers though? The danger is when I start to intentionally use things as springboards to my relationship with Hashem. What does that mean? Let's see. He says, the danger is it so easy to make the Kal Chomer? Is it so easy to make the leap from the world of the, you know, mundane to the world of the holy? And that's sort of going to be his main point today. But let's see what he means by that. So again, Dahainu, Shame'ava Rashabala Adam. So from an evil or negative type of love, one can try to redirect that and grab onto the love of Hashem. B'chashva Kal V'chomer. And he says, he makes the following Kal V'chomer. He thinks to himself, what do you mean? This is... It makes perfect sense. Im ritzoni note lahov shtus zeh. If I can claim that I'm in love. Imagine a person sees a beautiful woman. He feels a sense of love for her. So he knows that's ridiculous. He thinks that she's attractive, right? So he's obviously feeling something. That's part of the way Hashem programmed us to be, right? But if for a second he thinks that's called love, that's a very simplistic perversion of what real love is. But he says to himself, you know what, but when that beautiful woman walked by, right, and like my heart skipped a beat, so I don't know anything about this person. She may be the worst person in the world. And I may be, whatever I thought in that moment of attraction was nonsense. Shehup soles shenafel b'shvira. It's a broken external form of something called ahava. So kal v'chomer l'sharsho l'avas haborei. Shemimenu nilkecha zos ahava. So all the more so, right, I should be able to do the same thing for something very real. Namely, loving Hashem. If I could claim for a second, right, that it was love at first sight when I saw a person who I was attracted to, so I should be able to say, what? I don't know anything about her. Nothing to do with her. What am I calling love? But I felt, in some way, I thought I had a feeling of love. So all the more so, kal v'chomer, it shouldn't be so hard to actually fall in love with something that is so deep and is so real, namely, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chein b'yirara, the same thing is true for fear. Right? A person gets startled. A mouse runs by and a person jumps. Yeah, you get startled. I'm scared of a little mouse. I'm much bigger than a mouse. Why am I scared of a mouse? According to Rashi in Parshas Noach, animals are scared of me. So what am I scared of? And I felt a moment of real... I genuinely got scared for a moment. So how could I not... Kal v'chomer, it should be so easy to feel real awe and fear of the creator of the world. V'chein v'isparos, hagaruah. The same thing is true for all of the sviros. It's true for teferes. V'chein b'nitzuach. The same thing is true for netzach. And all of the various emotional attributes of Hashem, as they express themselves in the lower world. If I can feel it for X, then al achas kam v'kama, kal v'chomer, I should be able to feel it for Hashem. Now, says the Yosha Divrei Emes, that's a true idea, what the Magid of Mezrich is saying, but it's one thing to say the kal v'chomer, it's another thing to live the kal v'chomer. Because I could also say at the same time, I've been much more afraid of silly little things in this world than I've ever felt, even at the heights of Yom Kippur, for God. So it's not so easy to necessarily make the lamaisa to make that transition. V'heim choshvim, right, so they think, people think, you read this idea, what does it mean they think? Osam she'enam balei seichel sheroim zechoshvim, people who are not truly of deep intellect, they mistakenly think, she'davar pashad hu lilmod kal v'chomer zeh. People think this is like a very simple kal v'chomer. Makes a lot of sense. If I could love something childish, I could love something deep and real. If I could fear something that's not so genuinely scary or deserving of my awe, so all the more so I should be able to stand in trepidation and awe before Hashem. And people think you make a kal v'chomer, kamo shalom dim kal v'chomer b'gemara, just like you make a kal v'chomer in Gemara. It's just a simplistic, intellectual construct. Aval sham hu lilmod v'kan hu lasos. The nice line. He says, but the difference is that when you're doing a kal v'chomer in Gemara and you get it, right, what does it take to get it? It takes a little bit of intellectual ability and paying attention to Rebbe when he gives the shir. What does it take to make this kal v'chomer? Unbelievable depths of amuna and dveikus v'Hashem. She'i efshar lilmod kal v'chomer zeh im lo yeh mufshat migashmas. Because if I can't let go of the lower thing, it becomes impossible to truly use that to attach myself to the higher thing. I have to strip away my physicality. Because how could I claim that I'm truly clinging to Hashem if I'm still clinging to something else? It's what we say in Shema, love Hashem with all of your heart. Not 50%, not 75%, all of your heart. So to actually channel that love that I felt for that person and now give it entirely over to Hashem is actually very hard to do. Even though, as an idea, it makes a lot of sense. Hashem is much more important in my life than even my own wife and children. But to actually let go of my wife and children, to cling to Hashem, very hard. That's not simple at all. And to let go of any type of physical pleasure, to say, oh, now I'm going to release my grasp on this, the physical expression of this idea, and attach myself entirely to a spiritual expression of the same idea. It's very hard. As I bevada inu yodea klal me'avas haborim yosov v'tifarto. If I can't let go of the gashmias, then I can't claim to have truly experienced Ava or Yira or Teferes. Ki lo ta'amo klal. Because I have not experienced it, tasted it, or perceived it at all. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, ta'amu ur'u ki tov Hashem. Ta'amu, you have to really immerse yourself in it. Experience it. And I can't really claim to experience Hashem when I'm still holding on to something else. Hashem is Echad. I have to choose Him to the exclusion of other things if I want to fully experience Him. That's a hard thing to do. V'akasuvo Meir, we just said that. Tamu Ru Kitov Hashem. V'chas v'shalom yipol b'shucha amuka im lo yishmer es atzma va'od. And a person could fall into a deep pit if he doesn't watch himself. Meaning what? Meaning all the things which in theory could be stepping stones to Hashem. Right? It's good for me to experience, right? Again, you can say it like this. It's good for me to experience the feeling of intense love for a woman. But that way I can use that, like the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, to fall in love with Hashem. What's the danger? The danger is, but if I don't make that transition, then I'm giving more love to another human being. It's not a bad thing. I'm not saying it's bad, per se. But it's bad if my goal is to love Hashem with all my heart. Because now I've just invested some of my love, my emotions, in that relationship. Right? So now, you're gonna start to wonder, so like what? So I'm not allowed to love anything but Hashem? Not allowed to fear anything but Hashem? Not allowed to be connected to anything but Hashem? Madrigos, you know? It's very jarring for us. You read a Maimer Chazal, you know, that a person wants to be successful in Torah, he has to be cruel to his own children like a raven is to its young. Okay, so I guess Torah is not for me. I can't, you know. Right? But again, there's also, there's degrees of applying that Maimer Chazal. So yes, I'm going to have to make some sacrifices. And I'm going to have to, yes, take away some of the time I want to spend with my children to learn Torah. Yes. That I'm willing to handle. I'm doing it right now. I'm doing it right now. Lubavitcher Rebbe said, I told my wife, I said, please wait up for me tonight. I want to have a cup of tea with you tonight. I'm going to show when I get home. Just to sit and drink a cup of tea together. It's been very busy the last couple of days. I just want to sit and drink a cup of tea with my wife. Lubavitcher Rebbe said about drinking tea with his wife. He said it was, and I'm not drinking tea with my wife because I want to like make a vart. I just miss my wife. I want to hang out with her. But Lubavitcher Rebbe said that his doctor, Dr. Ira Weiss, was the Rebbe's cardiologist. The Rebbe and the Rebbetzin. So he said, Dr. Weiss said, that the Lubavitcher Rebbe told him that by me, having a cup of tea with my wife every day is as important to me as the obligation to wear tefillin every day. That's what he said. But we'll say, Lubavitcher Rebbe, but the time you're spending with your wife is less time with Hashem. Now again, maybe there's a way to be with your wife and be with Hashem at the same time. Maybe it's not a contradiction. Maybe it's possible to see your wife as the embodiment of the Shekhinah. I don't know. Right? But what the Osher Divrei Amos is telling us, that in a certain sense, if I'm not willing to let go of the physical manifestation of the emotion, Ahava, Yira, Tiferes, whatever it is, then I'm never going to be able to taste the real thing. Okay, again, we have to learn how to apply the Sefer properly, but that's part of what he's saying. He's saying this idea that you're reading in the writings, again, he's writing to his contemporary, to a friend. He's saying, I know you're seeing the ksavim of the Maggid of Mezrich. We just have to talk about this because this is a complicated idea. Not such an easy idea. So God forbid a person could stumble in this idea. Why? Because again, I'll use all sorts of things as my entry point to God. And if I never make the Kal V'chomer, not intellectually, if I never live the Kal V'chomer, then I'm just attaching myself to so many other physical things and never making that transition from that physical thing to the spiritual realm. And therefore, v'tzarech laharchik es atzma b'chol erchakos hanimtzam b'sifrei musar. And therefore, a person has to distance himself entirely. Rak mishu hu mufsha migashmias. But if you're the type of person who knows how to free himself from the physicality and not get lost in it, meaning for most people, yeah. There's a line that he's going to say in a page from now. I feel like I should just tell it to you. Just look at the last two lines in Osi Yudches. I think it'll help us understand along the way. I'm just the last two lines in Osi Yudches. We quote from Menachem Mendel of Premishlan. You see it? The last two lines in Osi Yudches. He says, "Kamosha Amar Hakadosh Marina Harav Menachem Mendel mi Premishlan Zal She mi Achila Mitoch Lishma Ba'in Shalom Lishma." Kamosha Yadato Kamosha Mitoch. When it comes to Torah, Mitoch Shalom Lishma Ba'lishma. So Menachem Mendel Premishlan said the opposite is true in the physical world. Right? If you're going to eat lishma, it's going to lead to lo lishma. What's he saying? He's saying engaging in physicality is dangerous. Can every physical interaction be an entry point, a much greater connection to Hashem? Of course it can. But it could also just be what? It could also just be gashmis. So better to avoid, right, your so-called holy eating, unless you're truly a tzaddik, better to follow what he says, the Sifrei Musar, and just eat less and engage in less gashmis. You'll turn out to be more spiritual overall than trying to use physicality as your entrance point to great levels of spirituality. Now again, you may have no other ideas in Hasidus that contradict this. Is that what you're going to say?
No,
what are you going to say?
I was going to ask if this is Rebbe.
No. There was a Rebbe Meir from Ashlan. This Rebbe Nachman from Ashlan is one of the Rebbe's of our Rebbe, the Yoshua Devei Amos. If you remember, he said his primary Rebbe was the Maggid of Zlatshuv, but his other two Rebbe's, his other two main Rebbe's were the Maggid, we met a little bit, and Rebbe Nachman Mendel of Prem Ashlan.
There's no connection between the two Prem Ashlans?
The place is still called Prem Ashlan. I'm not sure what the connection was. Okay, but you hear the idea here. He's saying you're going to eat lishma, but at least a little lishma.
Lishma meaning for the sake of the food, lishma? Or
for some holy purpose.
Oh, so that's,
if you eat for a holy purpose, so you're going to, again, you're taking the risk of getting involved with more and more gashmis. Right? And maybe it'll lead to low lishma. So let's come back now to Os Yud Zayin. So he's saying again, this idea of using a physical thing as a means to connect to Hashem is not so simple. Rak mishu mufsha migashmius, vafilu hachi misor belibol lefamim avara o yira. If you're truly a tzaddik, and then all of a sudden you have a sudden moment of negative ava, or negative yira, so such a person can assume that was meant for him to what? To use it to be mevarer that experience. Meaning for most of us, when you have a feeling, right, it's not that Hashem is sending you a baskol and saying, take this feeling, sending you this feeling because I want you to redirect it towards Hashem. Now again, we should try to redirect it towards Hashem. But in terms of l'chadchila signing up for more and more gashmias with the so-called intent that I'm going to redirect everything towards Hashem, it's just not so simple. I don't think I thought about Hashem once tonight when I ate my dinner. I made a bracha when I started, I made a bracha when I finished. How many bites did I think about Hashem? Of the 100 bites of salad that I had tonight, how many bites did I think about Hashem? Zero. Okay. So I engaged in a lot of gashmias, l'shem gashmias. Now again, I signed in and I signed out. Right? So in a certain sense, that was my heter to enjoy the salad. But again, just understand this is an idea for tzaddikim, to actually be able to take the gashmias and to elevate it. Again, the way he's explaining it, is only for someone who can say, I don't get pleasure from eating salad. I don't enjoy the physical aspect of it. It's merely a way for me to elevate something towards spirituality. It's a very deep idea. Let's keep reading. It'll become more clear. Ki adayin lo nivra v'nifshat karl tzarko. So again, when the tzaddik has a moment of ava ra or yira ra, right? Hapsolis rotze lechoz bo ulidafenu. So when the tzaddik who has this, who's more or less, he's a tzaddik, but he has these temporary lapses of engagement with gashmias, or a feeling, an emotional feeling, so for him, he can use it because he's primarily rooted in the world of godliness. So when he strays for a moment into the world of physicality, he tries to lift it up and bring it back into, right? He tries to lift it back up. But there's a tremendous danger, again, of getting caught up in the physicality and not being able to make that kal v'chomer l'maisa. Let's read his mashal. I think the mashal will help us understand. V'kosav v'ksavim chadashim shi'igiu liyadi. I read in the new writings. Again, they're mamash publishing the writings of the Maggid of Mezrich at this time. Mashal matok al zeh. Beautiful, sweet mashal on this idea. L'mashal mi shahamelech shalach b'cheima ish echad mechelosav ish nora ma'od umu'uyam umufuchad kederach mashar se hamelech v'yishloch oso hamelech acher echad mi b'nei hamadina l'maro l'haviu elav l'aduno sham l'fnei l'fanav v'mishpat. So imagine the king in a moment of great wrath, right? Cheima, in a moment of anger, he sends forth one of his members of his army, so to speak. A person who's Noira V'ayom, right? A very frightening person, a very powerful person. And who does he send him to? He sends him to some, you know, Yankel, who lives out somewhere in the boondocks. And he says, I want you to bring me Yankel immediately for judgment. Yikes. So Yankel gets a knock at the door, right? You know, banging on his little cabin door. And he sees this big, important-looking messenger of the king. And he says, the king would like to speak with you immediately. Whoa. So if he's very foolish, right, so what's he going to do? He's going to try to do everything that he can to what? To negotiate with the messenger of the king. Now, why is he calling that foolish? Because what good is that? Why am I trying to appease this guy, the shliach who works for the king? Halo pachado pachad amelech. He's just the shliach of the king. So meaning, I'm trying to negotiate with this guy, but why am I getting lost in this? Why not just deal with the king? He's not going to be able to make a decision on his own anyways. Let's assume he's a loyal messenger of the king. So if I start telling him why I'm so innocent, he doesn't care. My job is to bring you to the king. You can tell me your story as much as you want. There's nothing I can do to help you. You need to negotiate with the king. Right? So tov li leilech maher lamelech. If he's wise, let me go quickly to the king. Ulai aratzenu. Maybe if I hurry to the king, I could show the king that I'm not trying to avoid him. I'm trying to come clean. I'm trying to, whatever it is that I'm in trouble for, I'm not going to deny it. I collapse on the ground before the king and I beg for his mercy. Over al pesha, because it's the nature of a good king to sometimes pardon. So why am I wasting my time negotiating with a shliach who's powerless to do anything to help me? What's the nimshal? So we'll get to it in one more second. Let's look at the opposite example. V'chein behipuch. The same thing is true in the opposite. Kishesholeach hamelech achar ish echad mimesharsof bekavur v'minei tanuk. Imagine the king sends what? Not someone who's angry at you, but he sends a shliach to bring you all the riches in the world, to bring you tremendous delights. Right? The king loves you and the king wants to reward you, and the king sends you an unbelievable reward. So again, the one who's the recipient of the king's reward, imhu shota. So if he's a fool, what does he do? So he starts going on and on and on about the shliach, what an amazing shliach you are. Wow, it's so thoughtful that you gave me this gift. And the shliach says, what are you talking about? It's not for me. Why are we talking about this so much? You could say whatever you want to me, but you're clearly not getting it. I'm just the shliach of the king. Go run to the king and thank him for his generosity. What are you chewing my ear off with this business? It's nothing to do with me. Aval mishu chacha meivin shekevin shetanuk zehu rak b'chutz mi beis hamelech. Once he understands that this is just from the king, v'shliach shel hamelech, ma yeh b'beis hamelech v'lifnei hamelech be'atzo. So if this is what the king gave me as like a, you know, an invitation package, and I'm getting all caught up, what are you wasting time with? Run to the palace. The king obviously loves you. Can you imagine what else he has in store for you? The little package that he sent you, which was already worth $100,000, imagine what he'll give you when you actually come to join his court. So what am I busy? The shliach brought me free, you know, a free roll of sushi. And the shliach, wow, thank you so. Wow, you brought me dinner. Wow, you're so nice to me. What do you mean? This is just a small present from the king who wanted you to have something to eat on the way. But get to the king as fast as you can. That's where the real party is. What are you wasting your time with the shliach and the cheap little gifts along the way? Get to the real thing. If the king is sending me, again, because he loves me, he cares about me, so pick up the pace, go to the king, get the real thing. Right? So if I'm being punished and I think it's the shliach, I'm missing the point. And if I'm being rewarded and I think it's the shliach, I'm missing the point. What's the nimshal? And how does it apply to sort of what we're learning here? Va'nimshal hu? If a person has true Yiras Hashem, Va'avaso boer belibo tamid ke'esh, and his heart is on fire for Hashem. Aval adayin eino mevorer lagamre, but it's not really refined in the right way. He hasn't really worked it out to the point where his ava is pure and his yira is pure. V'lif'amim nis'orer bo ava ra o yira ra o his. If for the most part he has it, right? Meaning for the most part he has Avas Hashem. For the most part he has Yiras. And now occasionally he encounters a physical hour, physical Yira. That's Hashem giving him something to help him to take it one last step. Right? If you're mostly of Avas Hashem or Yiras Hashem, and it's not Mavur or Lagamri, it's not completely worked out, and then occasionally you have some type of encounter, then that's from Hashem. That's Hashem. If he sees a scary thing. Again, most of his yira is channeled towards Hashem. He's 98% a yarei shemayim. So how does Hashem help him get that last 2%? So Hashem will send him a little olam haza yira. Kamo nachri, o kelev, mafchid, right? Either an enemy of this Jewish person, or a wild dog comes and tries to attack him. And he gets frightened by it. Yeda ki min ha-shamayim shochelo davar zeh machmas shenisrachek v'nafam achshavtam yiras Hashem yizbarach. So that's a reminder. You used to be 100%. You're slipping. Now you're down to 98%. So Hashem's trying to shock you a little bit to get you back on track. V'rotza melech l'kar l'yirasa. So the king is calling you back. Right? You used to have more yiras shamayim. So now I'm sending you an external, I'm sending you the shliach, right? And I want you to use that to come back to me. Vasholeach lo azeh shliach, hamafchid min ha-shvira shabolam hazeh, which comes from some broken, cheap fear of this world. Yim nilbav, and if he's aroused by it, if he's awakened from it, yizkor v'yivrach mizeh ha-yira liras ha-melech. So he doesn't get caught up on how scared he was of the dog. He uses that fear to channel it immediately back to the king. Because in our mashal, the shliach is coming just to tell you, go as quickly as you can and come to the king. Again, what is it his business being busy with the shliach? So go running immediately to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same thing is true. If he has an ahava ra, that he's fallen a bit away from his love of Hashem, which he normally does have. And Hashem wants to send a shliach to get him back on track. Right? And to allow him to delight in the great love of Hashem. And he sends for him through the outer trappings of Ahava. So Hashem gives him, again, an olam hazeh moment of love. Again, use that to immediately return to the king. In that way, he's rectifying the fallen sparks from the shattering of the vessels, a Kabbalistic idea from the beginning of creation. Where do these things come from? This external expression of love, this external expression of fear, it's all broken aspects of the supernal version of that idea. The Ava, the Yira, the Chesed, the Gvura, the Tiferes, whatever it is. And the goal is to try to restore it. But I think the point he's trying to make is you have to understand that there's a danger in this. Right? And it's possible for a person to deceive himself that he's living a spiritual life when he's not. The first story that comes to mind to make this point exceptionally clear is the story that I told you once with the Chiddush Harim. When the Chiddush Harim, the Ger Rebbe, was sitting at his Shabbos table, and there was a chassid who was sitting with him, and the Rebbetzin was bringing out all sorts of delicious food. And this fellow, thinking that, he's a big tzaddik, and he's going to, elevate everything to a more lofty source, right? So he sat there, and as he was eating, he said, what? L'chavet Shabbos Kodesh, L'chavet Shabbos Kodesh, L'chavet Shabbos Kodesh, everybody, trying to impress the Rebbe. And the Chiddush Harim looked at him, gave him that look when Rav Weinberger looks at you over his glasses, what I'm talking about? Right? And he said, L'chavad mein boich. Right? Like, let's be honest. You're not eating it l'chavad chush mein, you're eating it because it tastes good. Right? So let's just be honest about it. Let's not pretend that we're doing an act of tzidkus and maybe have one less portion, maybe having one less portion of cholent would actually be a holier way to engage the cholent than to keep scarfing it down with fake L'chavit Shabbos Kodesh with every bite. That's, I think, the point that he's trying to make. Right? There's a danger of a person thinking that all the, you know, all his, I have all these feelings of love because Hashem is sending me so many messages of nitzotzin that I'm supposed to be mevar. Or maybe you're just like, your love is like all over the place. So if you're a tzaddik and Hashem sends you a moment of ava or yira, right? So maybe that's a sign, you know, whoa, I moved away from like the place of ruchnius into the world of chumrius, of gashrius. Okay, so I use that to get back on track. Hashem sent me a shliach. A wild dog starts barking at the tzaddik. Whoa, the tzaddik uses that to immediately return to Hashem. I'm not going to get stuck on the shliach. But for most people, there's a danger of getting caught up with the shliach. Okay, so that's the challenge. La'asid level, let's just do one more paragraph. We'll just start Os Yud Ches. Ki be'emes lulei hashvira lo haya shum ra v'shum chomri. Because if not, again, for the breaking, the way the world originally was, it was in such a way that everything was used in its lofty spiritual way. Everything was originally attached to Hashem. There was no possibility of eating where it would be detached from godliness. We're longing for a time when all of the potential to misuse something is lost, is gone, and all of good is refined. Everything is used in its optimal fashion. The famous Navi of Yeshaya, right? Navu of Yeshaya, that the wolf will dwell amongst the sheep. Right? Whether you understand that as some supernatural thing, where animals that usually eat each other will actually get along, or whether it's metaphorical, like the Rambam says, for the Jewish people being respected by the nations of the world. Right? But the point is, there's not going to be that struggle. There's not going to be that disconnect. All Ava is going to be channeled in an amistic way, towards Hashem. There's not going to be any perversion of these ideas. We'll be able to have truly extracted all of holiness from its outer husks. Even inanimate objects and plants and animals, each according to its ability. You think it's so hard for us as human beings to attach to Hashem. In the future, not only are we going to feel connected completely to Hashem, but so will this table, and so will that tree outside, and so will the dog on Amsterdam Avenue. Right? There's not going to be this process of birurim anymore. Everything is just going to be fully attached to its shoresh. Kol shekin anachnu b'nei Yisrael am karovo. All the more so, if it's true about animals and rocks and trees, all the more so it's true about us. Ava hashvira garma hisrachus v'isabus v'shicha u'peirad me'ashem yisbarach. But through the shvira sakelim, through the shattering of the world, we become distant. Things become av. Av means thick, right? It's hard to penetrate to the core of what things really are. And forgetfulness has set into the world. And distance has set into the world. And all this, of course, is to test us, in order to prepare us for a better good in the future. It's all setting the stage for us to come to that complete attachment to Hashem. Last paragraph for tonight. The Iker HaBeirur. And the primary way, again, to do this is by what? How do we get ourselves ready for complete Dveikus to Hashem? So again, I told you from the start, not everything we're learning to say for is so easily applied to our lives. But says the Osher Divrei Emes, you know how you prepare for that? How do you prepare for complete attachment to Hashem? You practice it. Stop attaching yourself so much to Gashmis. Stop engaging in all sorts of physicality. And stop pretending that, oh, you're using physicality to use that as a way of grabbing on to something loftier. Most of the time, let's be honest, you're not. You're just using physicality for physical pleasure. Let's call a spade a spade. So therefore, the Iker HaBeiru Shal HaShvira Yefshar Lios Im Hu Davok Mis'ava Mis'anei L'tanu HaChomri Chas V'Shalom. It's impossible for a person to cling to Hashem completely when he's what? When he's still in love with physicality. Ki heich yivarer. Im hu choshech lipsoles birtzono. Right? How is it possible for him to be mevarer if he loves the psoles? If he's attached to the psoles, he's attached to the outer shell. Aval haberer hu. Im hu davuk b'Hashem yizbach. B'dechilu rechimu. If he's connected to Hashem with fear and love. U'mevio liyira la'ayin. And he uses that yira to come to complete submission to Hashem. V'ayin hi chachma. Where it's only lomer, what I'm trying to say is, shemevin ba'akar gedola v'atzuma shetanug zeh, hu nimas v'hevel be'ein of ritzono. If I can realize that you are just a shliach, that all physical pleasure is just a shliach to get me closer to Hashem. I can't do that if I'm immersed in it, if I'm still enjoying it too much. Again, there are a lot of other tzaddikim and approaches in Svarim HaKadoshim that have a very different attitude towards engaging in physicality and dafka using it, l'charchila, to use it to connect to Hashem. But he's scared for us. He's scared we're going to... It's a very emistic sefer. Yoshua is very emis. He's scared we're going to engage in all sorts of things in this world. How we're going to, you know, close our eyes and shuckle as we eat that cholent, claiming that we're eating a lishma. And that's why I showed you. How does he end this paragraph? Shemei achila mitoch lishma, ban sholoch lishma. From your achila lishma, there's a good chance you'll have some achila lo lishma. You're still attached to gashmias. Kamo achila ushasiya vezivog. A person says, no, I eat for Hashem and I drink for Hashem and I'm intimate with my spouse for Hashem. Let's be honest, that's not true. Those are very hard things to do. And therefore, a person wants to be close to Hashem, so maybe eat less and drink less and engage in less pleasure. Rakum mochrach meis Hashem yisbach. Of course, it's of necessity to do these things. But realize again that it's a very dangerous thing. All right, so this is a hard idea. It's a hard idea. But again, there's what to say that it's not only for tzaddikim to try. Again, the Baal Shem Tov already established a cloud. Anything you see or anything you experience, try to redirect it towards Hashem. That's a little bit different than what he's saying here. Here, he's telling us, okay, in a chanami, if you see something, if you experience something, try to bring God into it. But don't get overly involved with olam hazeh things, with the false assumption that you're just going to connect everything dveikus to Hashem. It's simply not true. For most people, you want to be more connected to Hashem, so work on being less connected to all those other things. It's a hard idea. All right? Shkoyach. The Rebbe has silenced us. We don't know what to say. It's hard. Anyone? Any thoughts?
Deep.
I think it's just honest, though. The Chiddush HaRim story captures the whole thing. You could say, I'm doing this lishma, I'm doing it l'shem shemayim, I'm doing it l'chabad Shabbos Kodesh. But you have to also ask yourself, am I? And if I'm not, then maybe another bowl of cholent is just another bowl of gashmias. It's another moment of sticking my face into the gashmias. No, what do you want to say? Eliezer, I feel like you have something to say. I'm holding back. All right. Good. So we'll stop here.